those times when you feel like there's a sign there on your back. Says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down to my last match. Filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying? If you're going through hell, keep on going. Slow down. If you're scared, don't show it. You might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Yeah, if you're going through hell, keep on moving. Face that fire. Walk right through it. You might get out, for the devil even knows you're there.
And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live. Trying to get my microphone set here. Live from the Radio Ranch this 420, April 20th, 2023. And I want to welcome you. Thanks for tuning in. It's a live program tonight. The phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. I've got a few things to talk about tonight. Oh, there's a couple current events going on I thought I'd mention, and thought I'd been putting some notes together. We'll see if we can get to them tonight or not, and we'll go with that. But we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Let me do it in New American Standard. I got my King James. They called me my New American, my Bible, my good sword is done. I got to call them and pay them for it. I had to get it fixed. So I'm looking forward to getting it back, because I've got it all marked up and where I need to. I just am familiar with it. You know, it's like it is a sword. It is a it just used to it. That's all there is to it. Just used to it. And I've been kind of floundering here these last few months when the Bible repair shop has had it. So they're going to get it back. We'll get it back, though. But James 5, you know, many times we read this on the Wednesday night prayer meeting because it talks about, is anyone suffering? He must pray. Are you cheerful? Sing praises. It's James 5 in verse 13. But it goes on down, and in verse 16, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. The prayer of the righteous accomplishes much. And then he gives an example. Because sometimes we need an example. We think of this just in the abstract. Oh, yeah, the prayers. Yeah, God hears them. Yeah, whatever. Right. The Bible gives an example to drive it home, to prove the point, not that it has to, but to prove the point. And so I want to start off with this before we pray, because it says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. You ever think about that? He was a man with a nature like ours, it says, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And it wasn't just happenstance, because then it says, then, verse 18, he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And so it gives this example that says, hey, Elijah did this, and he had a nature like yours. We're to have a nature like his, and believe when we pray. Oh, the world looks at it as, well, you know, what else can you do? There ain't nothing else to do but pray. That's the wrong way to look at it, folks. You know, it's interesting that many times when we look at things, two people can look at the same thing and draw completely different conclusions from it. Maybe we'll get to that. Let me write this down so I don't forget it. How about that? We'll come back to that. So I encourage you to pray. That's the greatest encouragement I can give you. I really think it is to pray. To draw closer to God. We do that in prayer. And he will draw closer to us. And so we encourage. I hit on that on Sunday morning on the scriptural insight and the study, or the review of the news that we do right there as we start church on Sunday morning. Is we pray the pistol prayer, and I try to encourage you to make sure you're prayed up, to make sure you've prayed the Lord's Prayer, and you've prayed on the full armor of God, and you've prayed it on your family, and you've prayed for your neighbors. And you've prayed for us here at the church. You've prayed for your brethren and for the remnant. And you've prayed for our leaders and those in authority. We're told to do this. This is what we're told to do. This is what we are to be practicing when Jesus Christ returns. He says, when I return, will I find faith? Well, you can't please him without faith. And I think it takes faith to pray. And I think it's a circle. We pray for faith, and when we have faith, we pray more. And that gives us more faith. And then that allows us and encourages us to pray more. And that builds our faith. And they feed each other. And it's a good thing. So I hope you pray. It's not that I'm any kind of a great prayer, a person that prays. But I just want to encourage you that is what we're to be doing. Well, let's do that now. Well, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word that you give us, that encouragement that you give us, Lord, and the blessings that you pour out upon us, Lord. Surely our cup runs over with blessings, and they come from you, and we thank you for them. I pray, O Lord, thank you for this great day you've given us, safety and travel and good health and grace and mercy and good weather in its season and protection, Lord. And I thank you for that. I pray for that, Lord, to be upon all of the remnant, that they would be protected on this day and every day, that they would look to you for their health, safety, and welfare, because, Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you for that. I pray for your blessings on this broadcast tonight, that you would guide and direct me, that you would, Lord, help me to encourage your people to love and good deeds, to encourage your people to draw closer to you, and to, Lord, for their faith to be increased, for their faith and their trust and their looking to you. And I pray this for myself as well, for our health, safety, and welfare. I thank you, Lord. Help us to be as David and to have a heart after your heart and to desire to do what is pleasing to you, to have, Lord, the eyes that you have, to see as you see and to hear as you hear. Help us to do that, Lord. Strengthen us. Help us to, Lord, to have our batteries recharged so that we can shine that bright light of Christ into the dark recesses of this dark and dreary world that we live in, Lord, that is in such need of your light, of your hope, of your grace. And we know that it's there, Lord. It's been given. It's just there for the repentant. And we thank you for that. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for all the work that went into, Lord, to allow us to have this broadcast, to have this network, to be able to reach out to your people and to share the gospel and encouragement with them. We pray your blessings on it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, I had mentioned that isn't it interesting how two people can see the same thing and draw two different conclusions? And many times it's because one person is seeing it with in the physical, in the flesh, as we say, in the physical. And the other person is seeing it in the spiritual. And sometimes we break that down, or we don't say physical or flesh and spiritual, but we say, oh, in the literal or the figurative, or the optimist or the pessimist, right? The cup is half full. No, the cup is half empty. And so it depends on how you look at it. Reminds me of the story of the different shoe salesmen, and they went to Africa. And the one salesman gets off the plane and he gets out and starts looking around and he thinks, oh my gosh, nobody's wearing shoes. They don't even wear shoes here. How am I going to sell shoes to people that don't wear shoes? And that's the one guy, and he called back. He said, just send me a return ticket. There's nobody wears shoes here. But the other salesman got off the plane and he thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to sell shoes to everybody because nobody's got them. And so these two people saw the same situation, but they looked at it differently. You might say positive and negative. And so in talking about Scripture and the Bible and how we are to be as Christians and that type thing, that we have to make sure that we look and we see this horror. And I have to make sure that I do this as well. That when we look at this terrible economy that we're in, and the soaring prices. I just stopped by the grocery store on the way home. Been down printing the newsletter. We're printing the newsletter this week, and we'll get it in the mail next week, good Lord willing. But stopped and grabbed a couple things at the grocery store, nothing's any cheaper. The prices just go up and up. I had to stop at the hardware store and grab something real quick. And the prices just go up and up. They're not any better. But we have to see this with the eyes of Scripture, that we see that this is the Babylonian, Antichrist, ungodly system that's crumbling. Oh, it's not just going to crumble overnight, but it's falling. It's failing. It's not working anymore the way it used to. Don't know how I got off on this. Wasn't really planning on talking about this tonight, but I guess it's a place to start. And so we just want to do our best to have eyes to see, as the Bible says, to be able to see. You know, some people they look at the events of and they just think, oh my gosh, it's just worse and worse and worse, and it's not going to get any better, and there's just no hope. And then some people look at the events of the day and see that because things are getting so bad, it's waking some people up. And some people are seeing that, hey, wait a minute, we've been lied to about this and about that and about this alternative lifestyle. We've been lied to about that and how this should be and how that should be and even Bible things. Hey, we've been lied to about who God's people are, who the Israelites, the Hebrews of the Bible are, who Jesus Christ is. And they're waking up, and that's a good thing. That is a good thing. So we do want to make sure that we do that as much as we can. That we look at what's going on, we see what's going on, certainly need to be in prayer about it. We see people that are under fire for standing up for good Christian American values, and people are under fire for that. People are being attacked for that. And the Word tells us that the world hated our Lord and Savior, and He tells us that if we follow Him, it's going to hate us. And so that should come as no surprise. So we have to look at that itself. When we are persecuted, when we're spoken ill of, when we lose friendships, or worse, if we lose jobs or whatever it may be because of us not being ashamed of Jesus Christ and the gospel. The Word tells us to rejoice always. And so if those things are happening in our lives, make sure, Remnant, that we do that very thing, as hard as it may be, that we do our best to, you've heard it, I've heard it here, Lord, what is it you're teaching me? What is it you want me to learn out of this event, this happening that is probably happening in many of our lives, whether it's the severe inflation and there's just not as much money at the end of the month because everything costs as much or so much more. So what, that in itself can be a lesson. for us to tighten up the strings and maybe to thin out and really look at our budget and make sure that we're spending wisely and that type thing. So anyway, I wasn't planning on going on this route, but it just kind of what came up. And so we want to make sure that we have the right attitude, we have the right glasses on as we're seeing these biblical events occurring in our day. Okay. Want to remind you also, we are printing the newsletter. Been down doing that all day today. So if you've called the office, I'm going to be gone tomorrow as well, printing the newsletter. I'll be back in the office Monday, doing DVD church and mail and answering phone calls and whatnot. So just to give you an idea, if you've called and by the time I get off this, it's a little late to return phone calls, 8, 9 o'clock at night. So. But we're printing the newsletter, Volume 3, and it has to do with gun control, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I was printing today, had some printer issues, but we got it fixed up, and so we're just printing right along. Hopefully get that in the mail Tuesday, maybe Wednesday next week, and we'll get it to you. And one thing we do note in it is... the Passover makeup day. I just want to touch base with you. Only got a couple more weeks to talk about that. The Passover, the 14th day of Abib. Abib, the first month of the new year, and the new year starting on the spring equinox, which was March 20th. Usually is, as best we can tell. And then 14 days later, usually April 2nd, it was this year. And that's the Passover. So we observed the Passover April 2nd at the LaPorte Church. And we hope you're able to join us. It's archived at the website, sfawbn.com, the network website. It's archived there if you want to go take a look. And if you didn't get to observe it, it's the Bible talks about a makeup day. You can read about that in, I think, Exodus 9 and also in 2 Chronicles 30, that they didn't get to participate in it. They weren't ready. And so God gave them a makeup day 30 days later. Again, you can read about that, Exodus 9 and 2 Chronicles 30. So I encourage you to do that. I see the phone lines ringing, so we'll go to the phone lines. Good evening and welcome to 7x70.
Hi, Richard. This is Tim calling from Wisconsin.
Good evening, Tim.
Hi. I just want to put in a plug for Pastor Peters. I think one of the things that he taught us that was been extremely helpful for me was that exoteric, esoteric.
Absolutely.
And, without that, it's like everything is almost gibberish, you know. But, you know, because you talk to these people and they're constantly jumping into the esoteric. You know, and claiming that, well, that's what it means, but it won't come until you get the exoteric. So, anyway, so I also wanted to talk about, I was working on the shortwave and looking around, and I listened to Brother Stair for just a few minutes, and I guess Brother Stair is actually gone, but they're replaying some of his stuff.
Yes.
And, most of the time, what he says is just, you know, I think hogwash. You know? But this particular time, I not too long ago, I tuned in, and of course he's gone. But you know, so that must have been taped quite a while ago. But the he was talking about the resurrection, and he was saying that it was needed so that the people could be taught. And, I mean, this coming resurrection, right? I mean, we have a resurrection, and Pastor Peter's preached on it quite a bit, that we have a resurrection that's going to be a resurrection of special people, you know, people that were persecuted and so forth. And right? I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with,
sure,
with
sure,
it.
Sure, sure, Tim. Yes.
The pastor taught it quite a bit on it for, you know, quite a while. It was Anyway, and I thought, well, that kind of makes sense, right? Because the people are, they're not taught. They're taught by these Judeo-Christian ministers that are teaching, you know, I guess some of them have gotten so bad that they're actually ordaining homosexuals in their churches, you know. And I guess that's really not even all that unusual.
Some but, you know, some are.
They don't
yeah.
have the
Yeah, some
but.
Are. It is. Some are. You know, just as, I mean, so they ordain women, and that's not any more biblical than ordaining, openly sinning people, whether it's homosexuality or adultery or thieves or whatever. Yeah, they do. And you're right. It's they do that. They the people are taught wrong.
And the children. You know, they're confused, right? I mean, we know something.
They are.
Because of Pastor Peters, who, something about baptism, right? And receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we know that, right? But these other churches, they don't know that. And then these children, they're taught, and as so many as I was in the Catholic Church, well, you know, you've already been baptized, right? You know, I mean, that was an infant sprinkling thing, right?
Right.
And so we have all these people that just don't know anything. I mean, they've been deliberately confused. These people are hirelings, right? The preachers that have been with us are paid. They're bought and paid for. They're hirelings. And anyway, so. I think once in the blue moon, Brother Stair was right that when this resurrection, which is just, we're nigh onto this, it's just about ready to happen, I'm sure, if it isn't happening already. We're right there. We're going to have these resurrected beings, but they're going to be teaching us, you know, because there's a lot of confusion with us. I mean, we don't really have. I mean, I believe that, you know, our group or your group is a whole lot less confused than most of these others. But it's still, you know,
right.
There's something else that we need to learn, you know.
Well, Tim, I can't speak to what Brother Stair has said or not said. I just don't know. You know, but I do know that we all, each and every one of us, you and me and all of the remnant, that, you know, we have a duty, a responsibility called the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching, sharing, spreading the gospel. And, we and our fathers and our forefathers and those that have come before us have been derelict in our duty in doing that. So, you know, I think you're absolutely right. The people need to be taught. You know, we read through in the scriptures that there were times, I think of in Nehemiah. And I don't have it marked here. I don't have scripture memorized like I should. But you know, there were times that they would teach. They would find the law, the Word of God, the Bible, and they would bring it out and they would start reading it. The people would gather, and there's a couple places in the Word that talks about that they would read it for like a fourth of the day, and then another fourth of the day the people would just be crying out in repentance. Because they had forgotten. They had been taught wrong. You know, some of them had taken foreign wives and you know, were charging usury to their brethren and just all types of stuff. Lawlessness.
Oh, yeah. I just was looking at that just a few days ago. And,
and
Pastor Peters preached on that very thing that.
Yes. And so we've seen that.
Usury and so forth.
Right.
You know?
So we've seen that in the past that it's happened. And Ecclesiastes tells us, you know, that which has happened is that which will happen. And so, that gives me hope that there will come a time, and I mean, I hope for that time, that, you know, when the Word of God is read, you know, I think right now that we are in the drought. We are in the drought. It, you know, it talks about drought, not of water, but a drought for the Word of God.
Well, a famine for the Word.
Yeah, where the people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And I think, I think we're coming out of that. I think we're starting to come out of that time period. That's just my thoughts.
Well, my thing is we're running into a period where people are, I know because I'm somewhat acquainted with the medical field, and just to give you an example, I read a book, you know, is written by a dentist called Hal Huggins, and I don't know if you read this book. It was all in your head, right? It talked about the problems that are put into people from these dental amalgams, right? That are a mixture of mercury and silver, right?
Okay.
And they put them in the teeth, and they cause a lot of health problems. But Hal Huggins, when he first was introduced to the concept that these things were harmful, he just couldn't overcome his university teaching. He had all kinds of things memorized as to why they were not, right?
Right.
But he made a breakthrough, and he persevered, you know, and with you know, anyway, it's a great book, All in Your Head. It's I think it's still available. Anyway, so what's going on, I think, with a lot of people right now, like these vaccinator people, they believed at one time, you know, with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind, that these vaccines were just great, you know, and they were necessary and needed, right? And now they know that
it's not just so. That they've been lied to.
Well, yeah, and even the people that are injecting the stuff into the other people, the ordinary people, they don't know, but the people that inject the stuff, they know for sure because they're seeing all kinds of bad things happening after their injections, right? And still, like, so many of them are going to stick to that, right, instead of repenting, you know?
That's
so
right.
I think we're in a time where people have been convicted. And then there's just so many people that are just going to stick to their vicious crimes because they have to, right? It's in order to pay the bills and you know, in order to, you know, have the social standing and whatever reasons, you know all the reasons.
Yes.
And then they're going to stick to this, you know, injecting these people and killing the babies and killing the making the young women sterile and all this type of stuff, and they're just going to stick to it, even though they know for sure that they're causing great injury, you know. But nevertheless, they've been convicted. Anyway, but you know, and I take it takes a lot to repent. I it's just, you know, repenting means you got to stop, right? And you got to stop doing this stuff, you know.
That's right.
And the people don't. They won't because you know, they're just kind of, and what does the scripture say? Babylon is a prison for every unclean spirit and every hateful bird, right?
That's right.
I mean, they're stuck in it. They're not going to quit, you know. But so many of them actually are wising up and are quitting and are like changing and are repenting. And so I think we're in a great time right now in many ways. And for most of the people, I guess they're going to stick to their charade. Or I guess it's like that story that Pastor Peters like to tell all the time about the king and the clothing and that was made out of silver or whatever, or supposedly, but it was just, he was just being fooled or whatever,
right.
But he still stuck to the charade, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So,
the Bible says that many...
Really,
that people would you know, for those, there's many that they would rather believe the lie. And God says, if you won't have a love for the truth, that he will send a lie. He will send, he doesn't lie, but he'll send a deluding spirit if you don't have a love for the truth. And I think that's where that's where a lot of this country is right now, because they haven't had a love for the truth, because they're afraid that if they love the truth, if they seek out the truth, well, you know, that's different than it's not socially accepted.
It could even be unemployment.
That's right.
Put you out of the synagogue or whatever. It could be very serious. It could be, you know, I mean, it's awful. It's awful cold to be a street person, you know, and that type of thing.
That's right.
That type of thing.
That's right. And that, you know, again, going back to Pastor Peter's teachings, you know, he called us truth junkies. Just want the truth. You know, and likened us to drug junkies. Hey, just give me another hit. I need another hit of truth. I don't care what it costs. I don't care I just need to know the truth. And there's some people that are that way. And, you know, we've been looked upon as conspiracy theorists. But we need some new conspiracy theories, because all the old ones have already come true. And they're just common knowledge now. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting, Tim. I had a neighbor probably about 2 years ago, and we've been here almost 22 years. So I've known this guy almost that whole time, and we've done some stuff together and whatnot. But anyway, he came to me about 2 years ago, and he said, did you know the Federal Reserve is owned by like 5 families, and it's not part of the government, it's not federal, that it's a private corporation? And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. And he went on a little bit, and then after he'd kind of given his spiel and stuff, I said, yeah, you know, I've got a few books on that if you'd like to look at it. And so, see, and then I've had another neighbor that did the same thing again a couple years ago about vaccinations. You know, her and her husband came up and said, you know, we're not getting vaccinated. There ain't no way they're jabbing me and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, tying in with what you're saying, people are waking up. Now, we want it done immediately. We want the sky to flash and everybody to just go, okay, we got it. And that's not the way it works. That's not the way it's ever worked in the scriptures. And so it's not going to work now. No, the scripture says, even though Israel be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky, only a what will be saved? Only a remnant, just a little piece. Like Brother Paul says, just a scrap. You know, a little piece of scrap carpet. You think about that, a little remnant of carpet. Not the whole room, not the whole floor, just a little scrap, a little remnant. And that's how it is. And, you know, we pray for more and more to join the remnant, to open their eyes, to look to the scripture, to draw near to him, and he'll draw nearer to you. To do those things, to repent and either return to God or turn to God, because that's our duty. Again, back to the Great Commission, to teach this, to put the truth out and not worry about it. It does offend. It offended most of us when we first came to the truth. It did, but you know what? Like you said, Tim, you got to get over it. You have to humble yourself and say, okay, God, your word is true, not mine. Your will is right, not mine. Your way is right, not mine. And
well, I seem to remember that Pastor Peters taught that you'd either humble yourself or you'd be humbled.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. The and scripture I teaches that.
Maybe it's been a mixture, you know, for a lot of people between the two, because it's, you know, I mean, the world is, you know, that doesn't, you know, humility doesn't really work all that well. But,
well, it's just the opposite, you know, of the world. Yeah, no, the world doesn't want anything to do with that. You know, they're like, no, you know, be proud, right? Right, just like our song, right? Proud to be an American, right? No, we're not to be proud. We're to humble ourselves.
And I think that we can be proud of Jesus, and we can be proud of his great sacrifice, and we can boast in him and his power. And then, you know, Actually, that's not my idea. I got that from the scriptures.
Yeah, if we boast in anything, we boast in Christ. That
right.
that he is saved, that he died on the cross to save a wretch like me. That's what we boast about. But since he's done that, now what do? We come humbly before him. Now we can come boldly before his throne because of his righteousness. And I think he wants us to do that. I think at times we are to have that. You know, at times that righteous indignation comes up. And it's just, and we can boldly come before his throne in humility, but still boldly as sons and daughters of the living God, as those that have been bought and paid for. You know, Pastor taught on that. He was very good about doing that. But, you know, even 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, well, that's us, no, not Jews, but Christians, those who follow Christ, that new name that they're called, we're not called Israel today, we're not called Hebrews today, we're called Christians, and that's what it says. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, he says, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And so he puts it on us. Well, Tim, I got another call coming in. Good talking to you, buddy.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
God bless. And we'll try this line. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hey, Richard. It's Richard in St. Bernard, Louisiana.
Hey, good evening.
How you doing? I love the conversation tonight. Didn't somewhere in the book it say God's people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge?
It does say that. It does say that in Hosea. That's right. I think it's Hosea 4, isn't it? Hosea 4 says my people are destroyed. It says it a couple times, a couple places. But absolutely there, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then he goes on and says, you know, since you've forgotten my law, I will forget your children. And when we look around, I can't imagine how people can read that and not see that happening. And then, so God says, you forget my law, I'll forget your children. And Jesus says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, to me, that's the same thing. That's that same law, lawlessness. 1 John 3:4, sin is lawlessness. It's not that the law's done away with. We don't keep it for righteousness' sake, but that law is still to be there, for us to be able to no, we can't obey it for righteousness' sake. We're righteous through the blood of Christ. But after we repent and have contacted his blood, well, then we have to have guidelines to live by. And because we don't, we see the mess that's in this land. That's the knowledge, I think, Richard, that our people are destroyed because they don't have that knowledge. They don't have that understanding.
Yeah, you're 100% right about that. I got friends and family. I work with guys that half of them, thank God, aren't flipped out. But it all makes sense. Pastor Peters puts it together so perfectly. He really did. He really did.
I agree. I do. Richard, I think back to, when Jesus came and called his disciples, he's walking down and he sees, who was it, James and John, right? Sons of Thunder, they called them. But they were fishermen, I believe. And he says, come and follow me, right? And they did. And I bet their friends thought they had flipped out too. I really, God's honest truth, I think their friends have, because they were fish, salty fishermen. You know, I don't know if you're down on the coast down there in Louisiana where you're at, but
Yeah, I actually work on outboard motors.
Okay, I remember growing up. I lived in Savannah, Georgia, for a few years, and my dad had a friend. That was a shrimp boat captain, had two shrimp boats, Bubba Lewis. And him and my dad were good friends. But I remember, and I was just a little tyke then, but I remember that Bubba Lewis was a fisherman, and he was a salty dog. He was a rough one. And And but see, that's how James and John were, those fishermen that Jesus called, and I bet you their friends thought, what the, you know, what has happened to you? And but that's okay, and that's that example, I think, that we're to live, that we, you know, hey, I once was blind, but now I see.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
There's one other question.
Sure.
I know when Moses come down with God's law, that law was for the Israelite people, right?
Yes.
That law wasn't for everybody else. Am I right?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Richard, because, and yeah, I think you are right, because who did, you know, who did God give the law to? He gave it to his people, you know?
Right.
So if you want to expand on that, I mean, that's a great topic for conversation, you know? So did God give the law to the Chinese people? Well,
yeah, that's what I was getting at.
And if you look at
a little earlier, you was talking to Tim about that.
Yeah, and if you look at
not knowing.
Right. If you look at society, you know, different societies, the Chinese people, they've never the other peoples. I use that as an example. Chinese,
right.
Eastern people, the Eastern nations, you know, India, the islands, the Philippines, the Koreas, all that stuff. The people of the East have never followed until who? Until certain people obeyed the Great Commission and took the gospel into all the world and taught them that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so if it's racist, it's racist, if that's what people want to call it. But it's just the truth, you know?
Gotcha.
And it's just how it was. God gave his law to his people and said, this is how I want you to be. All through it, he says, don't have the influences of the East. I don't think I've got that. I got it right here. In Isaiah 2:6, you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are filled with influences from the East. They are soothsayers like the Philistines. They strike hands with the children of foreigners. And so what was it that God gave them? Oh, he gave them this law, these Ten Commandments, and then, you know, the various and sundry laws. Certainly they were a foreshadowing of Christ, and Jesus summarized the law. When the lawyer asked him, right? Oh, good teacher, what's the greatest commandment? You know, they were trying to catch him, but you couldn't catch Christ. And he said, love God. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And didn't he say, and that, and everything else, that covers everything else. Everything else is summarized in that. I think that is how it is today. We are to love God. Now, you know, God says, Jesus says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
And so it's not real complex. You know? It really isn't. It's very simple. It really is. And so, you know, I think we are to fulfill. And when you look back in true history, you know, who is it that has fulfilled, as much as it's been fulfilled, the Great Commission? It has been the white, Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people.
Exactly.
You know, that's who have been the missionary. Have they been perfect? No. There's only been one perfect, and they hung him on a cross. And all the rest of us are flawed. But there's been one people that have obeyed the Great Commission, for the most part, and it's been the Caucasian people, and that's because, you know, when God said, I'm going to make a new covenant, Jesus said, I make a new covenant, and the Christians today, the Judeos will agree with you there. Oh yeah, we're in the new covenant. Well, let's read that from the Bible. Who did he make the new covenant with? The house of Israel and the house of Judah. I think that's, where's that?
Right.
Hebrews.
Right.
I think it's right there in Hebrews. And
that's
what it is. It new covenant, same people. It's just that now they're that dispersion. you know, that James talks about, greetings to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, to, you know, the dispersion. They went into all the world, and you know, that was why Christianity, when it finally made its way to Europe, you know, chasing the 12 tribes, it just exploded, because
Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy 28, where it explains, you know, the invaders, you know, of all the tribes are coming in.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if it was that far back.
I'm pretty sure it's Deuteronomy 28. It talks about, you know, the invaders that are going to come into all the nations.
Pretty much what
we're going through right now, it seems
It is. It is. And that's a mark of true Israel. When you see, when you kind of have a little bit of, you know, what little bit of understanding we have, instead of trying to apply prophecy to the sandbox over there, that people that deny the Son of God, you know, when you see the things that are happening in this nation that that was founded on the Word of God, to glorify the Christian faith is what the Mayflower Compact says. The very first document that was written and signed on this nation, you know, was to the glory of God and to further the Christian faith. That's what it says. That was the foundation. And you know, it was a regathering of ancient Israel. But just like ancient Israel, what have we done? We've turned on each other. We've grown fat and kicked, like the Song of Moses says in Deuteronomy 32, I think. We have grown fat and kicked. And we talk about that. Oh, we've grown fat and happy. It's just people aren't happy anymore.
True. But that's true.
It's because we've turned from our God. And we just see that repeated story time and time again all throughout the New Testament. And we are living it today. We are living
true.
It today.
So that's exactly right.
Well, Richard, good to talk to you. And
thank you so much.
We're about out of time tonight.
Appreciate you, man. You do a really good job.
Well, thank you, brother. God bless.
Same to you. Take care.
All right. Yeah, new listener down there in Louisiana. Praise the Lord. And they're going to be coming out of the woodwork, so to speak. They are. And Remnant, it's because of your prayers and your support. It is. When we share one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ, and one of the ways we do that is we pray for one another, and Remnant, know that we pray for you. We thank you that those of you that support us, that allow us, that allow me to be here, that allow Jason to be there, that allow us to broadcast and to do newsletters and to have church on Sunday and to do those things. And so we thank you. For that, it is an opportunity, and we don't take it lightly, and we're blessed to be here. Well, thanks for tuning in. I hope I wasn't rambling too much. Appreciate the calls, and want to invite you back Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. We hope you'll join us 7 a.m. Mountain Time Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast. That's still pretty early out there. And 6 a.m. for the West Coast. We know you guys are out there joining us. And so Saturday morning right here, scriptures4america.org. And bring your coffee and your Bible and tune in. We'll have the phone lines open. And we look forward to talking to you then. May the Lord of the God of hosts bless you, our Lord Jesus Christ. May his blessings flow upon you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, you know those times when you feel like there's a sign there on your back. Says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.